Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Oh,
what's up? Good Monday. What's going on? What's everybody doing? How we doing?
I gotta. Do we really need a 2-hour and 29-minute countdown clock to game 5?
I don't think we do. Are you seeing that?
Yeah, right there. Right up. I sat down. I ahoyed, and I looked up, as I often do on the television here, and there's a countdown clock. Now, I'm all for a countdown clock, but. Boy, 2 hours and 29 minutes and change? I think you gotta start that countdown clock like maybe 30 minutes, 20, 25, 2.5 hours. Who's sitting here watching ESPN being like, man, good thing that countdown clock's up. Whew, wouldn't want to miss a second of this coverage. And whoever this dude is and his big forehead.
Do you think they have research that shows countdown clocks get people to watch more than non-countdown
clock? I am convinced that ESPN has their head so far up their ass that, like, nothing just... I've never seen an entity just be so big try to kill themselves quite like ESPN.
So you don't think they have research?
I do not think so.
You just think they think that's cool?
Yes. Someone in a meeting was like, guys, I know we're struggling. People aren't watching. They're a little upset with us, but I got a way to bring them back. Countdown clock. Genius. Countdown clock and Kendrick Perkins. What more could we possibly need?
Did you see what they're actually doing tonight to maybe try and bring people back for the first time since 2013? What?
On ESPN?
On ESPN, they're doing lineup introductions.
Oh.
Like, they're doing the in-stadium lineup announcements.
Yeah. North Carolina!
They have not done that for 12 years, and they're doing it tonight for the first time. I don't know why you wouldn't just always do it.
It's a lot better than
because
listening
to... Because it's way better for the buildup. It's
Stephen A. Smith, Kendrick Perkins, and Bob Myers,
Wait
for
a minute.
God's sake.
Are you talking about in the arena?
No. They always do it in the arena. They're going to televise it.
Televise it.
Oh. It's never televised.
No.
Or hasn't been for the last 12 years.
Everyone does lineup introductions, but they never show it on TV because they're busy, again, yelling at each other over God knows what. So
you'll occasionally see it on local broadcasts if a guy is making his return to the building, like Dame coming back to Moda or something like that, but not typically for a national game.
You would be so better to lose some of the dip S's yelling and just give you more of the crowd experience.
Yep.
Like, and I'm biased because
white.
I'm a hockey guy. But one of the things that I think that the NHL does is they lay out a lot and give you the crowd experience. Every hockey game you watch, you will get all of the anthem. You get the pregame stuff. You get the guys on the ice skating around. And it lets you feel like you're in the building a little bit. This is the other one. I would love to see the market research. Like, do the people that they put on there, because they're just terrible. Does anyone tune in? I don't know who these... the only one I know is Kendrick Perkins. And I'm assuming this lady is maybe a WNBA player or an ex-WNBA player.
I don't know, but she's tall.
Yeah, that's one of the Agwumike sisters.
Okay.
I don't know if it's NECA or Shanae.
And does anyone, and I mean anyone, tune in and they're like, oh my God, I can't wait to hear what these people have to say. Make it feel like you're in the arena.
As someone pointed out... the NHL is rolling out Wayne Gretzky, and for the NBA Finals, we get Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah, it's just...
Is he not the Wayne Gretzky of the NBA?
Hey, I think Kendrick Perkins has a title, and Wayne Gretzky does not, according to some.
Well...
I heard on a local broadcast that Wayne Gretzky does not have
a
Stanley Cup.
You've launched into ESPN bitching way too early.
Sorry.
Calm down.
Sorry.
We're burying the lead.
Oh, there is a lead. We have a bronze god amongst us.
We do. Ladies and gentlemen, Sprint Tri Clyde himself, Ryan Huntley, finished the sprint try. And he finished third amongst Clydes.
He is not the golden god.
Third.
But the bronze god, which, by the way, that's an everyman. That's the everyman's gold.
There we go.
You are our bronze Clydesdale god.
The working man's gold.
You are the working man's Clydesdale. And what better for a working man than the Clydesdale bronze? Look at this son of a bitch over here.
Look at him.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
First of all, what is that hat?
Oh, this is the Pacific Crest Endurance Festival hat.
Ha ha.
This was a gift from my wife.
Oh.
To commemorate the bronze?
She thought it was pretty awesome.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, you go to Bend for one weekend and you come back looking like Bend Bro. That's well, a
just,
Bend Bro.
I mean, that's
hat.
Just a trucker hat thing,
yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah.
Because otherwise, it's a pretty normal fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but with bright colors and then
the
white panel.
Yeah,
that's very bendy.
Yeah.
Anyway, tell us all about it.
Where do you want to start? There's quite a bit to it.
I heard there was a 2-hour time limit.
I thought there was a 2-hour time limit. There was not a 2-hour time limit.
Because
I finished in 2 hours and 10 seconds.
Well, I would hope that there wasn't a 2-hour time limit, because if you finished third, all the other Clydesdales didn't finish at all. Look at this.
I'm getting my hardware on over here.
Oh, he's got his medal.
Look at this.
Oh,
you hear that?
Listen
clank?
To the bling.
That's the clank of victory.
That's right.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Look at this.
Look at that.
I don't know about anyone else. I'm so turned on right
Wait,
now.
Wait, why do you have 2 medals?
Well, one is for finishing and participating. The other is for finishing third in my class.
Hell yeah.
We need because I'm assuming we're on the CW right now. There better be like a warning like underneath to like for the housewives. Like just ladies, keep it in your pants. There's a lot of excitement right now. Holy cow.
Well, okay, so you did the swim first?
The swim first and there was positive and negative to the swim. I was concerned when I figured out the day before that the temperature of the water was 58 degrees. I knew it was going to be coldish, and I was going to have a wetsuit, but I was expecting 60, 65, and I'm like, that sounds a little chilly. And the more concerning thing, which I hadn't considered at all, despite being in high desert in June, the morning temperature at around 7:30 a.m. when
chilly.
This thing started, about 45 degrees. So
crisp.
And on top of that, the race hub where you finish and also where you keep your bike and your change of clothes and stuff like that for the transitions, that's not at the beginning of the swim. You have to walk to that point. And so you do a half-mile walk in your bare feet in 45-degree weather in your wetsuit to start the day.
They don't tell you that part.
That's people were wearing shoes, and you could, I guess, put them in a bag with your little station number back at the hub, and someone would bring it back, but there's no guarantee you'd get like your race shoes back in time from your swim. So most people just walked over there barefoot. And then when people got over there, everyone was so cold. The water's about 15 degrees colder than it was, or warmer than it was outside. So people just started walking in the water, waiting around because it was warmer than just standing there.
You know what I love about Buckley right now and for the rest of eternity?
The clank.
Is that when he talks on the radio, you can hear his medals clanking.
Now, the real question comes in from the text line. We're assuming that later that evening, the only thing that was worn in the celebratory what have you was indeed the clanking of the medals.
No, that would not be accurate.
Oh.
That comes later, I think. But we were sharing house with my parents and the two littles.
The clanking would have been too much.
Probably.
My sources tell me that you puked.
Yeah, that's right, because your source is me, and I sent you a video where I talked about me puking.
Yeah. Okay, so what
that
happened?
Would be sources close to the Clyde the bronze god.
That was like when Rick Bucher was reporting that Chris Webber wanted out of Golden State, and management went on a witch hunt trying to figure out who was leaking it, and it was Chris Webber.
Chris Webber.
Yeah. So the puke was precipitated by the first mile or so of the run. At that point, I was actually feeling pretty good, and my legs felt good coming off the bike, better than I thought they would. But what I didn't anticipate, and the only thing that I probably should have known but didn't, is that the run included quite a bit of trail and quite a bit of hills. And I looked at the map the day before, and it looked like it was all along the river, so I thought it was pretty much all going to be flat.
Wrong.
Not the
Wrong.
Case. So
Wrong.
You empty the tank a little bit going up the first hill in the first mile, and then they have a nice refreshment station for everyone, which is pleasant, and they tell you...
IPA?
No IPAs. That was after the race if you wanted it. But they said this water has electrolytes and this water doesn't. And it's just like the tear-in, like poured in packets. It's not, wasn't Gatorade, wasn't anything else. But I just grabbed the electrolyte water and I take a small cup of it. And it's kind of like salty. And it just, it goes down and it hits my stomach and immediately just does not agree with me. And so I keep running and I'm about 150 yards past the refreshment station. And I'm like, I don't feel very good. And I didn't really eat anything solid in the morning because I didn't have much of an appetite. So this salty electrolyte water was mixing with like a chocolate protein shake. And that wasn't pleasant. So I didn't even pull over to the side of the trail. I just kind of leaned off the side of the trail, let it go. And then I kept going.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look, you can't stop a Clydesdale with a little nausea.
Of all the Clydes, do you think he's the only one that puked?
Maybe.
And puked in rallies?
And I also think I probably had some river water down there as well. So
nice job, if the bronze god Clydesdale puked, I'm guessing there's some other Clydesdales that probably let it go as well. I don't think that was the only one. I find that hard to believe.
Man.
Yeah.
So 2 hours. It took you exactly 2 hours.
Ten seconds.
That's good.
Yeah. In 10 seconds, that's right.
10 seconds.
And they give you a little card, or they send you like a little digital card afterwards that breaks the race down for you. Yeah. If I had been wearing a watch, I very much could have and I think would have broken the 2 hour mark.
You would have pressed it a little bit.
You would have known.
That, and also, if you look at, they give you your transition times, how much time you spend between each leg. Yeah. My transition time between the swim and bike was atrocious. You're getting the wetsuit off, you're doing a full change of clothes. Yeah. The other thing is, you're walking on grass that, because it's still cold, is frosted over. So your feet are like nearly numb when you come out of the river. And I'm like trying to warm my feet up before I put my socks and shoes on for the bike. And
you just got to go.
I spent like 7.5 minutes in that transition.
Why don't you wear little paddle socks?
So there were a handful of bros out there who had little booties.
So they know what's up.
I guess. Yeah. But most did not have that.
I also feel like maybe the wetsuit, I mean, is it more trouble than it's...
No, it was necessary. Out of hundreds of people, I counted maybe 8 that did not wear a wetsuit at all. There were maybe 6 dudes, only one of whom was in a Speedo, and then there were 2 gals who wore like a one-piece, but everybody else was in a...
I would have given anything if Buckley showed up to the water smoking a heater wearing a Speedo and was like, all right, bitches.
This dude was like, he was like Maryland pride. It was like the Maryland flag on his Speedo. Yeah.
Wow.
And so the big question becomes, now that you are officially a bronze god, will the bronze god compete again, or will you choose to retire on the high note?
I don't think I'm hanging him up yet, boys.
Look at that.
Really?
Yeah, I think I'm going to do it again.
We were having this debate on Friday while you were gone.
This is an upset. Rob
was convinced this was a one-off.
I'm not sure that would have been the case if you asked me on Friday, but
you loved it.
The thrill of victory.
The experience was really cool. People had told me that like the community is very welcoming and supportive and stuff, and I wasn't even particularly interested in that aspect of it, but you got there, and there's definitely like just a cool, happy, positive vibe about the whole thing, and it ended up being a really cool experience. And then the thing that I really didn't anticipate was how cool my 4-year-old thought the whole ordeal would be. Yeah. And I guess he was, according to my wife and my mom who took some video, he was running around the house the morning of the race when I was already gone, yelling that I was a champion and that I was the best. And he was like memorizing all the legs of my race. And then he had signs for me and was high-fiving. And now he says he wants to do a race. And I thought, you know, there's maybe a little bit of like a, oh, cool, set an example byproduct, but my 4-year-old was really into it, and so that made me excited.
Look at that, the fatherly pride.
Father's Day weekend.
Yeah, that's great.
You're like JJ Spawn.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
I am the JJ Spawn of the Northwest Sprint Tri-Clydesdale Division.
Well, and you said you had fun. I'm guessing you were a little scared going in.
I definitely had butterflies.
Yeah.
I just kept reminding myself that, like, at the risk of sounding too philosophical, being scared is good and pushing yourself to do new things is too. And it's like, you're prepared enough for it that like, you're not going to die. Yeah. You're probably going to finish and you'll figure it out. And so there was a lot of unknown and ambiguity, and that gives you a little bit of nervous energy for sure. That was a thing the night before and the morning of, but you get there and you start having conversations with people and it immediately like gets easy.
More importantly, you get that medal around your neck.
That's right. And that sweet Pilsner at the end of the race.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
We were hoping for just non-death. Yeah. And I was too,
to be honest.
You flourished.
You flourished.
You're probably my favorite Clydesdale.
Ooh, who else is in the running?
Well, I just don't want to be definitive.
Okay, fair. That's fair.
Again, I'm with you. As of right now, if we're power ranking our Clydesdale,
he's number one.
You may be number three on the podium, but you're number one in our heart.
Because I can't think of another one yet. But I got to make sure.
Yeah. You never know.
I mean, you see the list.
Yeah.
No. We're scrolling through. Wait, I know that guy. Went to high school with that guy's great.
Also, the dude who won the entire Clydesdale division did it in an hour and 11 minutes.
Jeez.
And he was 62.
Was he really a Clydesdale or was he like...
No, he wasn't a Clydesdale. I'm saying of anybody who did the sprint try.
Yeah, okay.
Of anybody who did the sprint try.
Yeah. I was like, there's no way a
fastest Clydesdale was an hour 42.
I was going to say, Clydesdale's not doing one.
I was 18 minutes behind that. And I feel like if I cut down on my transition time and sans pukey-pukey, I'm not contending with that, but I could probably have shaved 5 minutes off or something like that.
He's not happy with bronze.
Yeah, I think he can get there.
I think he's gunning for silver, maybe gold.
What was the best time?
The best time? Well, that was the guy who did an hour 11 minutes was the best time for the distances of my events. Yeah.
Wow. That dude's humming.
Yep.
Well, we're happy for you.
Yes.
We're proud of you.
And I also have to say thank you.
Another applause.
I didn't anticipate when I brought this up here that it would be such ongoing fodder, but it has brought in a ton of support. I got Instagram messages from our listeners. I got Twitter messages from our listeners. People wishing me luck and congratulations on the YouTube, on the text line. It's you guys both texted me individually, separate from our group thread, and between friends, family, and surprisingly, like the workplace, I felt incredibly supported. So thank you.
Did you cry?
No, I did not cry.
Mm. I'm a big fan of doing stuff outside of your comfort zone, and like I said, I like doing hard things. And so I encourage people to do stuff that's difficult. It's good for you. The human being is not supposed to sit around and die a slow comfort death. Get out there and put some dents in it, man.
And my wife thought it was hot.
That's the big one.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
She said one of the most ambitious things she's seen me do.
I love it.
Wow.
Yeah. We got a lifestyle change.
What a weekend
boys.
For you.
This is a weekend.
God, things are looking up.
Hell yeah.
What if he gets that midday gig?
Oh my God, the sky's the limit.
What the hell are we going to do with this guy?
Yeah, we're going to
in his ego.
We're going to have to put a stop to that. We're going to have to kneecap.
Sabotage is in.
All right, well, Buck's back. He's puffing out his chest with his hot metals and his bend bro hat.
Mm-hmm.
Sook's here. He's no longer sick.
No, well, a little bit, but.
I'm here.
I feel better.
I'm feeling good.
4 day work week.
Oh, yeah. We're off for Juneteenth.
I know. I don't know how I'm going to celebrate it. Well, actually, I do. But
I know how. I think I am doing the best thing of anyone at the station on Juneteenth.
Last Juneteenth was the first time we had it off, and you did like the whitest thing humanly possible.
Yeah, you went saw Vampire Weekend in Bend.
You went saw Vampire Weekend in Bend.
Oh, that's right.
I was like, oh my God. Our first Juneteenth off, and you are doing literally the whitest thing.
Yeah. Let me tell you. Beat this, homies. On Juneteenth, this Thursday, I will be. Golfing with the black guy.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Thank you so much.
Vampire weekend to golfing with a black guy.
I told him.
You're like MLK at this point.
I kind of am.
Yeah.
I told him, I said, you know, this is pretty special. For you and me.
This might be your first
time. Yeah, do you think he feels privileged about this opportunity?
No, he does not.
I mean, a lot is happening.
But I said, listen.
Boy, this.
Who better to play golf with on this day than you, my friend?
This show. Look, there's a lot of radical changes going on here. And now I got nothing, boys.
Can you beat that?
I got nothing. Man. Well,
I'll let you know how it goes.
I got a drop please. I can play that I'm not going to.
Please don't. All right. Headlines, a lot of it, next on The Fam. All right, nice to have you along. Another beautiful Northwest day. It's Monday.
The rain's coming later, I saw. Yeah, I actually looked at the weather.
This weekend, I think?
Yeah, only because the BTJ asked about it, and I was like, oh, I'm sure it'll be nice. And I was like, oh, it's rain.
Which we kind of need.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple wildfires burning, you know, that type of thing. So, but right now, I mean, my God, it's like 70.
Yeah, it's perfect out there, man.
5 degrees out there.
Yeah, a little crisp this morning, which is always nice, then turns into a sunny day. Mm. Went to a baseball game yesterday, and weather was perfect. Mm. Mm. Can I also say this real quick?
You can.
How was my first Jason Swigard Hillsborough Hops experience?
Yeah.
And we give Swag a lot of crap. Mm-hmm. He is great at that.
He does a really nice job.
That is a. And
do you think he was bad at it?
I just, I don't really think a lot about the stadium announcer. I don't know, very often, like, you're at a game, it's there.
He's, by the way, for those who don't know, he's the PA guy at the
Yeah, at Hops. The Hillsboro Hops.
Yeah.
So we went out there for Father's Day, and so I texted Swag, and he was like, oh, yeah, I'll help you out. So got us some nice seats down there on one of the baselines, and said, hey, text me when you get there. And that was the first time I've thought about the PA announcer, because I was like, oh, like, and I was telling, like, the fam, I was like, yeah, that's Swag, works at the office. And I want to say it was about three innings in where I realized, because I was paying more attention than what I normally do. And I was like, he's really good at that. And so after the game, ran into him and I gave him a tip of the cap. And I was like, I think he said the same thing. I was like, I'm not saying, I just didn't know what to expect. I just was like, oh, that's Swag at first.
Did you give him the backhanded, you're actually really good?
No, I just was kind of one
implying
of those.
Implying that you didn't think he would be?
No, I just kind of said, I don't really think about, what I told him was, I said, I never think about the PA announcer. It's just not something that like sinks into my head. And I said, you do a really nice job at that. I said, and that was my kudos. So I just wanted to give some on-air flowers because we love to give Swag a lot of crap. But he is really, really good at that. So
hold on, everybody.
Kudos to the Hops. Kudos to Swag. And it was a wonderful little Father's Day. Father's Day in baseball has kind of become our thing.
Did you see a celebrity was out there too?
Celebrity?
Yeah. Isn't Andrew Jones' kid playing on the Hops right now? I think Andrew Jones Sr. was
There is a Jones. I didn't know that that was Andrew
I believe
Jones's
that's
kid.
Drew Jones, son of Andrew Jones. And I think, and I saw a photo from like MLB or maybe it was the Hops of him and his dad with a special bat before the game. So you may have been in Andrew Jones' company yesterday.
Okay. That I didn't.
Did you feel his presence?
I can't say that I felt.
He was a hell of a center fielder that one.
Andrew Jones was great.
Burst on the Hall scene of Fame as a 19-year-old in the World Series.
Wait, what? What did you just say?
Burst onto the scene as a 19-year-old in the World Series.
Oh, yeah? He was in Pretty the sure. World Series at 19?
Yeah, Braves-Yankees. I think that was the Jim Leyritz series.
Yeah, he had a phenomenal start, and then it kind of...
fizzled a little bit.
It fizzled a little bit. But yeah, for a while, dude, he was phenomenal. Hell of a career.
I'm going to look up his stats real quick.
I want to say he was the youngest to hit two home runs in a World Series game, or maybe to hit home runs in back-to-back World Series games.
So was that the... Because the Braves only won one during
that was
stretch.
The... No, but they didn't... This was they didn't win. I think the Yankees won that one.
All right.
Career home runs, Andrew Jones.
I'm gonna go 315.
434.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was gonna go 200s.
How about hits?
Well, now you've thrown me because that's the home runs is way better than I thought. I'm gonna say 2300.
1933 hits.
Okay.
For that guy.
Yeah. What was the career average? And many gold gloves out in center, I'm assuming.
254.
254, and I'm assuming a handful of gold gloves. Because for a while, he was
GG
one of the best,
two, three,
best center fielders.
Four, five, six, seven, eight. Nine gold gloves.
Dude, that's a...
Nine GGs.
Dude, that's a
nice
hell.
Little career.
Nice little career.
That's more than a nice little career. And I think that's like borderline.
He had 51 bombs one year.
I think that's borderline Hall of Fame stuff.
He's like Cal Raleigh. Yeah.
That's like, is it the Hall of Very, Very Good or is it the Hall of Fame?
That's kind of on the cusp.
That's on the cusp. Yes.
And Drew Jones plays for the Hops?
I believe that's the case.
Yes, I think that is the case.
Hmm. Cool. All right, well, congrats to Swigart.
Yeah.
For actually being good.
I wanted to give Swag some flowers. And, that doesn't happen. It doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
We like to poke.
Well, you certainly do.
Well, sometimes when you tear down, you have to build up.
Yeah, that's right. And try that with Schultzy next time. He needs it.
I love that guy all the time. I give that guy an attaboy all the time.
Headlines are next, and then we will discuss the U.S. Open. Here's Buck.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, couple headlines today going on in
sports.
bro.
One is that we had a no-hitter at the College World Series.
Should have had a perfect game.
Yeah.
That hit batsman was BS. Was it Wood? What was his first name?
Gage.
Gage Wood. Not just a no-hitter. This was the single greatest performance in the history of the College World Series.
G-Dub.
There has only been three no-hitters ever in the College World Series. There hasn't been one in the modern era since 1960. And my man went up there and should have thrown a perfect game. He hit someone in the back foot on a curveball. The guy leaned into it. You know, that was one of those easily could have gotten out of the way.
Hey, got to get on.
And he was just at that point was trying to do anything to get on. It was BS that that was even that was how he broke up the perfect game. And he mowed down 19 and brought us at least four great memes out of it. Dude, that dude was a machine.
Was that a little elimination game?
Yes, I think
yes,
that would
it
have
was,
been
because they lost
game.
To LSU in the opener.
Yeah.
So Murray State is out.
Yes.
Correct.
So Racers, my Racers.
Yes. Our Murray State Racers done.
The Cinderella.
Yeah. But our Chanticleers still going.
Yeah, you can only lose once. The Chanticleers, by the way, now they just get to sit back because now they're in the winner's bracket.
Right.
So Oregon State will play Louisville tomorrow, and then the winner of that has to play Coastal Carolina later that day.
It would have to beat them twice.
And then if they beat Coastal Carolina, whoever, whether it's Louisville or Oregon State, the winner of that game is the loser is out.
Correct.
And then they would have to play again on Wednesday in a winner-take-all sort of matchup.
Did you see LSU fans and their new number in the Rocco's Jello Shot Challenge?
Are they just lapping the
field
at this point?
They have now taken 13,789 Jello shots.
That's how many fans are there? How many per fan? What is going on here?
I don't know. The next best is actually Coastal Carolina.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was Murray State. I can't remember.
No, I think it's Coastal with like 9,000.
No, they didn't have 9,000. They had like 6,000. Last I saw.
LSU is...
I mean, they're unbelievable.
Yes.
They're elite at drinking.
I mean,
although Jello shots.
Yeah, Jello shots.
I mean...
Do you really want... Yeah, their second place now is... It was Murray State.
And what did they have?
I don't know when... So this was yesterday. So Murray State was just over 5,000.
Yeah, no, they've updated it.
They've updated it?
Yeah.
I'll see if I can find the updated one because that was yesterday. All right, here we go. From 3 hours ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, LSU 13,789.
God.
Coastal Carolina was third with 4,094 and Murray State with 6,672.
See, I thought Arkansas was third. You missed Arkansas.
I stand corrected. Yeah. Arkansas with 5,903. Yeah.
And I'm guessing after a no-hitter, they probably got a little bit of a bump. I don't know. It's for charity.
Just, yeah, charity sort of thing.
Yeah.
Is there even any liquor in Jello shots?
I mean, there is, but...
Is there?
I mean...
How many Jello shots before I could get drunk?
Well, I mean, just like anything else, it could have more liquor or less liquor, depending on how you mixed it. But
I think I would throw up from the Jello before I actually got drunk.
Right. Can we skip the Jello part of it?
Yeah, just give me shots. I'm happy to do that. But Jello? Yeah. Jello shots are always weird, too, because it's like a pinky in there. You're swirling it around, or then you're doing your tongue, and that's weird. And it's not for me.
You can put Everclear in there, like grain alcohol, and the Jello masks it pretty nicely. You can get nasty with that.
Sounds like you speak
from college experience, yeah.
We also have game 5 tonight. Pacers, Thundies.
Yes.
And, of course, the all-pivotal game 5.
Yes, because then they have to tell you. You know, yes. a lot of the talking heads, hey, I have bold prediction. Whoever wins game 5...
We'll win the series.
Going to win the series.
82.8% of the time.
Yeah. Well, I heard on my favorite midday show, which actually had its host back today.
Yes.
Dusty.
Even though he's not their host.
Yeah, he's filling in for himself.
Yes, because it's Danny and friends. So you're right. The new boss is filling in for...
Himself.
Himself.
Huh. Well, this was a Jeff Russ stat. He said that 31 series have been tied to... Dude, that can't be right. 23 of them, the game 5 winner has won.
That's not 82%.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Huh.
Okay. I heard that on the radio.
Okay. How about this?
And I believe everything I hear on
whoever
the radio.
Wins tonight has a big advantage.
advantage.
Probably going to win more often than not.
Well, I mean, the Panthers won in game five in the 2-2 Stanley Cup, and now they're going back to Florida. And
they better win game six.
Chances are.
Because if they don't, Edmonton's getting this. They're getting game seven in Edmonton.
I hope so.
You heard it here first.
Hockey, Rob. I hope so, but sure feels like Florida's just the better team. And I honestly don't know who's the better team. Like, to me, it feels like Edmonton has a shot. They're really good. Florida is the better team. When I watch Indiana and Oklahoma City, I just thought Oklahoma City was the better team, period. But as you watch this thing, I just don't think it's as clear cut.
No,
I mean,
I think,
yeah, this is, I think some of the hyperbole, the greatness of Oklahoma City, I think that for a lot of people, the shine has come off that. It's certainly, like, there were conversations about, is this an all-time great team? Like, and whether they win it or not, this does not feel like an all-time great team. It didn't feel that way watching the Denver series. It certainly doesn't feel that way watching this Indiana series. Oklahoma City is really good, and I still pick them to win the whole thing. But I'm certainly not putting them up there with the 70-plus win Golden State Warriors and the 72 Bulls and those teams. I wouldn't put them up against those Laker teams. I'm not even certain, it now looking back on it, if you had Boston's team last year, do you take that Boston team over Oklahoma City? Because I think a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love
I
that.
I think so.
That team was awesome.
Yes.
But so is it. I mean,
yeah, it's really good.
They gotta win this.
They gotta win it.
You know, they gotta prove it to us.
Yes,
gotta take out Indiana, and once they do that, we'll circle back.
We'll
give
back.
Them more credit. Oh, and, seriously, I mean, you have to win before anybody gives you any credit.
Yes.
So they gotta close this out, and if they do, they will be talked about differently. The other thing is, neither team has lost consecutive games for months. You know that, right?
Yeah, because Oklahoma City's been the best team wire to wire, and Indiana, I believe, has been the second best team in the NBA since. Was the first of the year?
Well, the Pacers haven't lost consecutive games since March.
Yeah.
Early March, which is crazy to think about. And they lost the last game, so we'll see if that continues. If it does, they got a leg up going into going back home for game six.
See if they can close it out, because then again, it goes back to if you lose game six on your home floor, does the momentum shift back? But
yeah, they ain't winning a game seven in Oklahoma
City. Feels like that would be, you go ask Denver.
And
how
neither
that
is Florida.
Ah!
And then the other headline I wanted to tell you about is that Shohei Ohtani is shocking the world, and he is pitching tonight.
Dude, that is awesome, because I was sitting on the, believe me.
Toilet?
No, I was sitting at the game yesterday, and anytime baseball comes up, no one in my family wants to talk about anything other than Ohtani. They've got Ohtani fever.
Well, he's greatness.
Well, again.
I mean, look at the guy.
Well, the Mets have a Japanese player that's really good, too, and no one cares about him, and it bothers me immensely. And so, The BTJ is like, hey, I saw a headline that Ohtani may pitch. And I was like, really? And I said, I know he'd been throwing simulated games. And I said, so yeah, I'm sure he'll throw sometime. And then she goes, no, he's pitching tomorrow. That's the first time.
She broke news to you.
That's the first time in 5 years. And I hate to do this. Every time she tries to break sports news,
you're speaking Japanese.
It's either adorable because it's like 3 weeks too late, or it's the most absurd. She like tried to break me the Dan Lanning to the Dallas Cowboy news, and I'm like, honey, just I'm like, please.
She got centelled. Huh?
I was like, please stop.
Or ball sack.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, was that a report that
no,
he was going to the Cowboys?
It just was a fake. It was a ball sack thing. It was
fake.
NBA centel, you know, sort of stuff. And so when she said that Ohtani was pitching tomorrow, I had to do that, honey. And then I looked up and I was like, damn it.
Oh, damn it, she's right.
She's looking at me. She's like, huh? And I was like, yeah, he's pitching.
Well, he's going to be an opener.
Yeah, he's only going to pitch an inning or two.
I love that he's so good that they're like, you know, you don't need to throw another sim game. Just throw like a real game to the Padres.
Yeah, you're fine.
Go strike out six straight Padres and then we'll revisit next week.
He'll pitch two innings. He's going to have four strikeouts, and then he'll hit a three-run home run in the
They said he's in the lineup, too. Yeah, so they're going to
play him.
Absolutely amazing. Because basically every Dodgers pitcher is hurt.
Yes.
So they're like, Shohei, come on.
And yet they're still in first place.
I know. Just think if they got healthy.
I know. They're just waiting around. They're like, I do appreciate the Dodgers are that good, where just the entire staff is riddled with injuries. They're still in first place and are taking the approach of, it'll be fine.
There are your headlines for today, June 16th. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. 616.
Golly.
616.
All right. Coming up next, let's talk about the United States Open. Isaac and Souk on the Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Don't need to make it. Two putts.
Hi. Did you hear that?
I did.
That was a made putt.
Didn't need to make it.
By JJ Spahn.
But it was pretty badass.
Yeah, it was. 64 feet.
Yeah.
On the 18th hole.
I forget who was the little British guy that was in there watching that, lamenting that he didn't give himself a chance at the playoff. And then that he's
Scottish, I think.
Was he Scottish?
Robert McIntyre?
Yeah. Yeah. It was McIntyre.
The lefty.
And then he watched Spahn hit that, and then he was like, oh.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't.
Didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
He made it anyway.
He's in there lamenting that he was going to basically let him two putt to victory, and then he hit that 60-foot putt. And he was like, what? Did he just, never mind. I guess that makes you feel pretty good knowing that you didn't cost yourself anything. You're like, hey, guy beat me.
Well, look, man, that's one hell of a run to win a U.S. Open. JJ Spahn, who nobody really cares too much about, I guess.
No, I do not. Although now it's kind of a fun story when you read about him.
Yeah.
Well, how about the fact that he bogeyed four of the first five holes out of the gate?
Well, he was up at 3 a.m., going to CVS for his daughter. Did you read about that?
Yeah, I did.
She was puking like Buckley.
I gotta ask the question.
Don't you think somebody can go for him?
Are you raining on his U.S. Open win?
No. I'm raining on the family and the support.
My man is
waking up in the morning to go compete for the U.S. Open. He is in the thick of it, right? And by the way,
in his defense, he doesn't tee off until like 1 o'clock.
I understand.
Maybe even later than that.
He's a year or so removed from almost quitting the game of golf because it's not working for him. And they're like, well, if this is it, this is it. And it's 3 a.m. You're playing for the U.S. No one else is around.
Well,
no one else is around to go run and get some meds.
So he said that the daughter was pukey. And he woke up to the wife with the daughter.
Yes.
And he woke up and she was like, she cannot stop throwing up. She can't keep anything down.
Yeah.
So he went to CVS. He said downtown. I don't know. Does that mean he went all the way to Pittsburgh?
I don't know.
But I mean, is there like near the golf courses are 24-hour CVS?
No,
that can't be very common.
That was my question.
And also, he has two daughters. So my guess is it was going to be too tough for the wife to get sick daughter and sleeping daughter all in the car and go.
Yeah. Well, you ask, is there anyone else? A lot of those guys stay with one another. Like Sam Burns was staying with Scottie Scheffler.
Yes.
And they all have little kids.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that if that were the case with Spahn, maybe somebody hears him, gets up, and it's like, I'm in 50th place. I'll go.
Right.
Or whatever. I don't know.
It's just.
But I'm guessing they were staying by themselves.
By themselves?
What would you do? I guess he could call his caddy at 3 a.m. and say, listen, man, I need a favor. But.
There's not a.
I think he's just doing the dad thing. That's
maybe
what dads.
Maybe I'm ignorant because I'm not a.
He's just being a dad.
I'll tell you what.
That's what you do.
And I look, the idea that your wife and kid are in the same room with you, that to me is weird. Like, I come from a world of football where the night before a game, dude, you're in a hotel. Like, your wife and kid are
away
not,
from family.
You are not there. No one is waking Tom Brady up at 3 a.m. the night before the Super Bowl. And by the way, the Super Bowl kicks off at like 4 p.m. No one's waking Tom Brady up to go to CVS at 3. Like, you just don't do that. And I will admit, I thought about this because I'm a terrible person, but I remember I remember being down with the Buccaneers once, and my wife at the time had brought the two down and were just kind of visiting me towards the end of training camp. And Iserman was little and was having like a fussy, you know, sort of evening. And you're up at 6:30 for training camp. And I pulled you go get your ass up and go get the kid. And I, you know, no, we're not doing this. I am not staying up till 4 in the morning. And then going to this, I'm trying to win a job. I'm not doing this. And that was a training camp practice. Heaven forbid this was I would have been the world's worst. I would have gotten a divorce had she been like, you're going to CVS. I'd be like, the hell I am.
Can you imagine?
There's $4.3 million on the line.
Imagine if that was the headline about you. Sukanik makes the team because he shuns wife.
I did. I 100%.
And you know what? 2/3 of the coaches would probably love it.
Yes.
Maybe all of them would love
it. That's what we want out of our guys.
That's commitment right there. Right, you see what Sukanik's doing for this team?
Meanwhile, in golf, the guy gets up. He's like, ah, crap. All right.
Yes.
I'll go get some. By the way, I'm going to ask a dumb question.
What do you get for vomity kids?
Yes. What are you going to do about that?
I don't know that there's much you can.
There's not.
If I have vomity kids, I'm just trying to give them water when they can take it.
You're either getting some Pepto
probably.
Or something.
Yeah.
Pepto. But in the morning, you don't have anything prescription strength. So you're doing some Imodium, you're doing some Pepto, and you're getting like Pedialyte to make sure that they stay hydrated and they don't get, you know, that it doesn't turn into something bad. But
almost seems like a superfluous trip. Like,
literally shocked me that he left.
What a stud.
At 3 a.m. the night before competing for a U.S. Open Championship to go get meds.
And then goes 5 over on his first 6 holes.
Yes.
Was that what it was?
Yes.
I thought he bogeyed 4 of 5. Did he bogey 5 of 6?
I think it was 5 of 6 or 5 of 7, wow. But he started terrible.
Yeah, and he even said afterwards, he goes, look, I'm not blaming anything, but he goes, it was a weird, that's when we found out, he's like, it was kind of a weird evening, and kind of like, imagine if that was the reason why you got off to a bad start and you cost yourself the U.S. Open. And no offense,
but you can always blame the daughter.
Well, if it's one thing, if it's Tiger, and you're like, oh, I didn't win my 18th major or whatever. What has he got? 14, 15. But dude, you're JJ Spahn.
Well, what do you want him to do? Let's say they're by themselves. Okay, what would you have done? Would you have called someone? Would you have? Can you DoorDash that?
I don't know. It would have been, I'm going to go sleep in the other room.
You figure it out. Well, we clearly know that JJ Spahn is a better man than you.
He is. I honestly would have been like, you can hate me in the morning.
I have a big round tomorrow.
And I understand, but this could change our life forever. She's going to be okay. I'm going to go in the other room and I'm going to get some sleep and I will set my alarm for 8:30. At 8:30, I will go get some Pedialyte. But tonight, you got to take one for the team. Good luck. I'm going in there and going to bed.
Well,
and then he wouldn't have bogeyed 5 of 6.
Well, you saw what happened to him on number 2.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yeah, where he hit the pin and went 50 yards out.
That was not his fault.
No.
He hit on the second hole, which he ended up bogeying.
Yeah.
He freaking laced one, and it hit the bottom of the pin. He almost jarred
it. Almost dunked it.
But it hit so hard off the pin, it rolled 50 yards back.
Yeah.
It caused him to bogey. So he kind of got a bad break there.
And Buckley is right. Yeah, he bogeyed 5 of 6.
5 of 6. Yeah, and they kept talking about on the broadcast because we didn't get to, so he was kind of out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
He had gone 5 over, and he wasn't even,
he wasn't part of the conversation.
Right. And so they would show him occasionally, and the guy following with him would say, I cannot tell you how many bad breaks this dude has gotten all day. He's just gotten so many bad breaks. And then the MF-er goes 3 under over his final 7 holes. He birdies 17 and 18, and he wins the damn golf tournament.
Going away with an easy 2-putt that he didn't need because he drained a 64-foot snake?
Dude, I got some serious respect for that guy. And the other thing about him is you alluded to it there where he was thinking about quitting golf.
Yeah.
You know, he was, 2018, they said he was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes because he lost a bunch of weight.
Yeah.
And
40 pounds, I think.
Yeah, he kept losing weight, and they didn't know what was going on. He actually had type 1. He was misdiagnosed.
Yeah.
So he was really struggling. He fell to like 500 and something in the world and was almost going to hang it up. This was only a couple of 3 years ago.
584 in the world.
Yeah, 584. And here he is. He got that under control. And here he is going to CVS and still winning at 3 in the morning and still winning the U.S. Open, which was awesome. And then the other element of yesterday, which I guess we'll have to get to next, one, I have audio for you. You were talking about Rory McIlroy, who, by the way, Rory McIlroy top 20'd.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
And we were getting, like, we were talking, like, he may not have even wanted to play on the weekend.
He flirted with missing the cut.
Yeah. Oh, you weren't here, but we were following that closely. Yeah.
We were like, dude, he's done. He doesn't want it.
He addressed that. I have audio I want to play for you.
I didn't see this.
Because they were asking him about that, and he said what he was thinking as he was coming down the stretch of round two, knowing that he might miss the cut.
We were thinking he was going to pull a 3-2-1 Cancun, warm up the plane, and he wasn't going to birdie those. He needed one or two like birdies on the last kind of two holes.
Just limp in with a couple pars and bogeys and say, have a good weekend.
Thanks for coming. We're like, yeah, it's been real.
So we have that audio. And then we have the rain situation with, you know, Burns and Scott.
That was ridiculous.
And those guys. That was a big part of this tournament. And those guys aren't making a big deal of it, to their credit. But, boy, I tell you, it was pretty borderline.
Burns could be.
It was borderline out there.
Yeah, someone went and found the spot. Van Pelt, I saw it. Scott Van Pelt retweeted it. Someone went after, Burns wanted some relief. Yeah. And they were like.
From a puddle.
Yeah, from a puddle. And they were like, nope, deal with it.
Well, it wasn't in a puddle, but it's the standing water. It was so wet.
But somebody dug up the rule, and it seemed like he probably should have gotten relief
He should have gotten relief.
So someone, right after he went to that spot and took a video of them pushing with their foot where it was, and their foot would, like, get submerged in water. And I think Van Pelt retweeted that and said something like, I would have been arrested. Because they told him no. Yeah. They're like, sorry, bitch.
And he handled it great.
Play it as a lies.
All right, we'll wrap up U.S. Open talk. Next on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.